Hi, Cole. What are you doing?
Well, Gary, I've smealed. I've smealed. Hey, everybody.
I smealed. Okay, Jar Jar.
Well, we're going to roll it. We're going to keep it in. Well, Gary, I smeared jelly on a dictionary.
Okay. I understand how you got to smealed.
Uh-huh.
That, and also, that should be a word.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird that there are like combinations of five letters that are pronounceable that aren't things?
I'm... You know, did you take like, an edible between recording sessions,
no,
dude?
But like,
also, how fast are your edibles kicking in?
I feel like it's weird that like troke doesn't mean anything, like T-R-O-K-E. It seems like a troke should be something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There are a lot of concepts we don't have words for. Why can't, you know, sleeb or whatever you said be a thing?
Yeah, smeal. Yeah.
So you smealed a dictionary and jelly.
Yes. Yeah. And I left it in the, I left it in the driveway, and I've got a UV light.
And
a thing that you may not realize is that ants leave pheromone trails behind themselves.
Yeah. Oh, I realize it. Hold them shits back to the bedroom and daddy play.
Yeah. So I just figured I would leave this out, give those ants the best goddamn day of their life. And then we can shine on and see if there are any words here. See if they pick it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if they took us to any GameStops.
Oh, true. Yeah.
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 All right.
Yeah. No. So those ants are marching in. I was thinking more. Was it Guns N' Roses Civil War, which just goes into whistling the ants go marching.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know Guns N' Roses Civil War.
Oh, it's pretty bad. they're going
as opposed to DMB. they're going nuts.
Yeah. And I think we can get a start here. See like if they left any words. Yeah. I've let this go unchecked for a while. My neighbors fucking hate me. Okay. And I'm gonna look here. It's a bunch of nonsense. They're all just overlapping. Blah blah blah. Oh, cursive. It says Maxis presents Sim Ant.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
Welcome to Abject Suffering, an undead favorite.
This week, we got a Cole pick. I realized after I picked it, maybe this was a backdoor wolf.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe, possibly. We're talking about Sim Ant, the Maxis classic real-time strategy precursor, weirdly enough. Yeah.
Yeah. I did not have enough time to make this a backdoor wolf. For me, just because time has been of the essence, but I ain't again it. I think it's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If I had hit this when it was on the Super Nintendo, I would love this.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's really neat. Yeah, it didn't. Also, didn't realize this was one of those SNES games that uses the mouse from Mario Paint.
Yeah.
My emulator on my Mac would. had a weird relationship with my mouse being plugged in, so I was like, that's how I found that out.
Yeah.
Cool, neat. But no, I've actually never played Sim Ant, even with all of my love of sim games. This is one of those ones that, you know, I just missed. Played Sim Copter, played Sim Tower, any of those.
Sure.
But there were so many weird games that Maxis did.
Sure. Sim Farm, Sim Health.
Yeah. And, just like as part of that broader, like, edutainment, learn about a thing by looking at a simulation of it kind of deal. You know, you could get lots of weird stuff by looking at, like, even like Broderbund games from around the time.
This is
meant to be explicitly educational. I believe that there's an entry on the main menu that is just ant facts.
Main facts. And then the manual for the PC version is also a textbook on ants.
Yeah.
Like, famously. Which makes you want to find that manual in like a, which I don't want to read a textbook on ants. Mm-hmm. I want to read it through the mind of Will Wright.
Oh yeah.
You know,
what are you thinking, bud?
Yeah. I gotta see what, and I love that this Will Wright being the weirdo who is just like, I read a cool book on ants.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe that could be a game.
I love it. It's one of my favorite things. Just like, yeah. Oh yeah, no, let's find a game in this, which is like, it feels less obvious when it comes to SimCity because mm-hmm. it kind of feels like that game came with the universe, but yeah. Like a game about running a city is not necessarily like inherently obvious. And also it was not guaranteed to be a success, right?
No.
It's only like after the fact, you know, just the fact that it has always been there, that it doesn't feel as weird as it actually is, I think. Yeah.
Whereas there are all these other also ran, like The Sims and SimCity both created genres. And, mm-hmm. you know, little computer people came first, I understand.
Yes.
Yeah. But The Sims and SimCity both created genres. And then what people don't often know is that there was a billion other weird little things like this that did not.
Yeah.
You know, like there aren't ant simulators as a genre. There are farming games, but they play nothing like Sim Farm.
Yeah.
You know, there are theme park simulators, but even Sim Theme Park was a little bit weirder. Mm-hmm. Like Roller Coaster Tycoon is a better version of that.
Yeah.
This idea of just, I'm going to follow my passions to gamify them, mm-hmm. and getting that freedom and just having ones that stuck is super fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
Great thing about Will Wright.
Yeah. And I figured if the game didn't support it, I think that this is just a really good simulation.
Ants.
They found the game. Oh. Ants are, yeah, ants and bugs.
It's not like we can't talk about ants. You were talking about that intro with the jelly thing. I oftentimes think about how awesome, just in terms of like pure pleasure to time in expressed as a ratio. Right, so I
jelly.
Can't.
Is well, it no, really no. fond of yeah, preserves?
God, I love. I actually do really like.
Oh yeah, jelly. No, I love it. Yeah,
you get those like ones that come in like a wood container. They're called like Crofter's Good Timey Old Stuff or something like that. But the you know, just you know, I can't measure out. It's not quantifiable. Like the joy I get from like loving my wife or mm-hmm. participating in art or having friends. But in terms of a pure just proportion, an ant stumbling upon a fudgesicle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you imagine,
like, oh, man, like,
just every neuron in your body being like, and then I understand that they're not thinking machines, really. But mm-hmm. if they were, just the idea of like, oh, this is security for my home for 2/3 of our lives.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know? I don't know what the lifespan of an ant is, but like, you know, when you have that few days, you're relatively, you know, compared to a human, right? Every
you
single
find a
one.
Fudgesicle?
If you find a fudgesicle, just the way that you just, your entire body and mind just exploding with light.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's got to be unto drugs to an ant.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and again, if they were thinking machines,
mm-hmm.
if they weren't just little robots.
Part of the horror, know? The horror of the ant is the unthinkingness of
it's a robot.
Yeah.
It's a machine that looks for sugar, mm-hmm. you know, like how Harry Dubois is a machine that looks for it. I think about that a lot. I think about that with ants. I think about, I've said this before on the show, when I get ants, I put out ant traps. Mm-hmm. I like ants from afar. I hate it when they're in my house.
I don't want to kill a spider, but there is the uneasy detente.
Yes.
Right? Like
if
you get in my space, you know, or like a spider, you know, up in a corner, fine.
Yeah.
Spider walking across the surface I use. I'm sorry, man. You cross the DMZ.
At the very least, you got to go outside.
Yeah.
I'll do ant traps and they shape those like ziggurats. Like they shape those like buildings you would train units in an RTS, like Command and Conquer buildings. And they're just full of dead ants. And I just imagine other ants stumbling upon this and be like, mm-hmm. smells good in here. Wait, John, you know, like seeing all the different corpses around
this
and everything.
This must be a place of honor.
Yeah, exactly. Something important buried here.
You know? Are these deeds revered?
It's literally that. And then they bring a poison home that is like a radiation. It's like, it's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much weird, scary shit with ants.
Yeah.
If you just add a little bit of, I mean, there's cool stuff just learning about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but if you just add a little bit of imagination and a little bit of like pathetic fallacy mm-hmm. to it, you can have a great time. I think about ants all day.
Mm-hmm.
And I do.
I do. Yeah, that pathetic fallacy is pretty tough, actually, because you know, and when you own a home, you gotta treat it for pests. You know, you get a couple times a year, you gotta walk around with one of those sprayer wands, and,
yeah,
you know, hit the perimeter, right?
Yeah,
and just kind of like, well, you know,
that beautiful dissonance.
Just what you got to do. Yeah.
Like, I don't like to kill an animal or an insect directly, you know, but I'll put out a trap. It feels more like I can justify it to myself as this is just kind of marking my own zone. You know, I'm just going to put this trap here. And if you walk into it, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
You know, even though that's not the case.
It's a fascinating line of study at the very least. One of the more memorable episodes. I realize we joke about the show an awful lot, and it done fell off real hard, you know, 13 years ago or whatever. But Radiolab, one of the more memorable episodes of that, was just kind of talking about like, yeah, we exist in the middle of this gigantic civil war. Like all of the continental U.S. is held in tension between these two just like macro colonies of ants. It's it literally is like split in two, and every ant colony that you see is one or the other.
Yeah.
And the way that it the way that they struggle for territory and for resources and stuff, you know, taking like the social structure that is apparent from a kid in an ant farm and bringing it to like a continental scale, and realizing that there are these networks and, you know, social behaviors and things that are stretching far wider than you think of. Like the closest analog I can think is like, oh, the biggest tree is actually this massive underground tree. Organism that has all these.
Or Pondo. There's the big mushroom that is all one big organism, and then the tree, they're genetically identical.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy. Insects are nuts. Thinking about them even a little bit is a pathway to madness. We're never meant to understand these crawling chaoses.
I'm not on TikTok, but I do do the boomer equivalent of that, which is Facebook Reels, which is all just reposted TikToks anyway. I've had to be real careful because there's one creator who posts there. I don't know if you've run across her. She is a beekeeper who speaks in just what has to be a very affected monotone. But it is videos of her. People call her out to her to the property saying like, hey, there's this old abandoned suitcase that has a bee colony in it. Can you deal with this? And you know, bees are, you know, there's this huge crisis. It's well known, you know,
beekeepers have to get my shotgun.
Yeah. Like I shouldn't just smoke these things with Raid, right? Like call a professional out to save this colony and just get it into a more advantageous spot. Right.
Yeah.
But she speaks. And so I went out and then I looked for the queen. And then I put her in a clip for safety. And then I grabbed handfuls of bees and I shook them into the hive. And then I went home after a good day of saving the bees. And it's like every video is the exact same, except with just a different thing that the bees got into. And it just the something about her delivery is kind of hypnotic. But because she is so successful, there are all kinds of copycats. So for a while, because algorithms are just like weeds, all of a sudden, every time I scrolled, it was a new person trying to do the exact same thing.
That's incredible.
I'm really fascinated by the what a beekeeper does or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't need to see everybody's own interpretation of it, but like the way that those cottage industries will pop up on social media around that same thing with like pressure washer people.
The algorithm assumed that you were into this.
Yeah,
like Cole wants calm people talking about bees.
I demonstrated that I was into it by watching that video to completion.
Which means that that's all you want. You know, you are a mono interest voter because that's what the algorithm thinks. I've seen that bee person before, I think on YouTube.
It's cool videos.
I mean, people just handling bees like they're liquid.
I don't like it.
It's so unnerving and weird. God, bees, ants, they're everywhere. I learned, I knew about this behavior, but I, you know how sometimes you'll learn a cool fun fact, but then because of the ever-present just parade of information and bullshit we're forced to contend with, you forget something and you are reminded or re-remember. A cool thing. I knew about this back when I was a kid, and then didn't think about it for like 20 years. And was recently relearned about queen balling. You know about queen balling?
Is it just where they gather around to protect her?
No, they're not protecting her. They're killing her. When they get a queen, a bunch of bees will create like a softball made of bees with the queen at the center while stinging her and attempting to suffocate her and overheat her.
I know that's how they react to wasps. The wasp ball, and just the fact that they kill them by cooking the wasp is amazing.
Yes.
I didn't know they did that with queens. Is that just like when they sense, hey, this queen has outlived her usefulness? Like
it can be that, and if she's not like laying eggs, when you introduce a new queen, you have to do it in a cage.
Yes, which is, I put her in a clip for safety.
Yeah, you put her in the clip for safety because she will get queen bald. Mm-hmm. These incels will fucking react.
Well, I mean, it's the ladies. It's the ladies who will do it.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. These fem cells are going to absolutely react against the queen. And it's such a scary thing. And thinking, again, pathetic fallacy is a wonderful thing. If you can anthropomorphize things, you will live. And you don't have to do it seriously. Like, I don't actually believe any of this shit. There's people who like have a pet and they're like, my teacher, the bee, and stuff like that. I'm not an idiot. But if you just in terms of flights of fancy, think about being that queen in the cage. That's fucking scary.
Just analogizing that to your own experience, right?
Yes.
Like you could write a very good horror story about roughly the equivalent of that happening to a person, right?
Let your mirror neurons be a little stretchy. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll have more fun.
Oh, I mean, the world would be really fascinating if you're looking for that. Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me of like whenever, you know, somebody's like, you know, oh, my cat loves me. And then somebody's like, oh, your cat just associates you with food. And I'm like,
well, it's like, first of all, what the fuck do you think love is?
Well, and also the science behind it is more complicated than that. But also, you're not going to allow yourself that, you know, you're really just going to self-deny yourself to that degree. You know, you don't want to, boy. Okay, Data.
Just like, oh, technically you don't like that. You just like the dopamine you get when you see it.
Exactly. Yeah. Ludicrous.
Thanks, Reddit.
thanks, human Reddit. Yeah. Absolutely, you know, awful perspective on life.
Yeah. Have a little bit of whimsy and wonder, you fucking assholes.
He's like, too much whimsy is obviously poison.
Yeah.
But a little whimsy.
A little whimsy.
Yeah. It's like food without salt. You know, you get a little whimsy.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah,
you know, let your mind frolic among the fields.
Just a little bit. Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah,
man.
This game I think is a really cool idea that if I had had kid patience, I would have been way into it. As an adult, it was a little counterintuitive.
Yeah,
for me on the timeline for this. So like, I bet you I could get into this. It's just. It didn't present well in an abject suffering format.
Yeah, I went through the tutorial and poked around. I wish that more of the scenarios were opened up.
Yes.
Like the little quick play kind of things, just because those seemed real interesting. Like the first one is, you know, like, oh, the kid drops some candy in a sandbox. You know, deal with that. The like free play, like the actual like game scenario is really interesting the way that it scales, because eventually like you want to kill all of the red ants, you know, this is a real-time strategy game to a certain degree.
The Saxville Bagginses.
And like you are in a yard outside of a house, the most depressing Sims starter house there ever was. There isn't even a bedroom. And eventually you want to drive the humans out of their house, which is good.
Which is a lot of ants.
Yeah, it's like a lot of ants.
You're going to give up.
It's also just funny. Like, Sim games were funny even before The Sims.
Yeah.
You know? So,
great, great company, Maxis. Yeah. It's one of the only games where you can engage in trophophilaxis, which is receiving regurgitated food from friendly ants.
Yep.
That should be a tag on Steam. Can I receive regurgitated food from friendly ants?
If not, I'm not going
to
play it.
The Cozy Game Showcase has some big shoes to fill this year. Trophophilaxis Simulator.
Yeah. I was surprised.
What if you could talk to the ants?
What's this drone's story?
Yeah.
I was surprised looking on Wikipedia, TV Tropes for this. There are at least two other games that take this and run with it.
Okay.
There is Empire of Ants, which is an RTS from 2001. And then there is a 2017 RTS called Empires of the Undergrowth.
Ooh.
Which I have never heard of these games, probably not good.
Yeah.
But to know that other people have taken this and run with it, in addition to the, you know, Grounded, the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids thing, right?
Maybe good though, because like they, sometimes this thing is niche enough. Like I had not heard about that remake of Dungeon Keeper or that game that took that and ran with it. And that's apparently very good. Mm-hmm. It's just a niche want.
Yeah.
You know? So maybe those are good. I could see it.
Let's see what people have to say about Empires of the Undergrowth on Steam.
Yeah. Uh-oh, it's racist. No, it's not. I wish I'd played this as a kid. Mm-hmm. This would have struck me, because as a kid, as a Super Nintendo kid, and I think you and I were similar in this way. Like, I was a big JRPG kid. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing was anything that was counterintuitive as a game. Mm-hmm. So this is why, like, EVO and Harvest Moon were so huge to me. Like, if I could do something I didn't ordinarily do in a video game, mm-hmm. That is all I wanted.
Yeah.
Out of life. And then eventually that, for me, I got out of that being enough before Shenmue hit me, you know, which was nice. And then I didn't have to like that very bad video game. But you go through that phase where it's I want to do is do anything that isn't a video game, mm-hmm. regardless of its quality.
Yeah.
This is laser targeted for that.
I had that phase. I was not playing, SNES was not necessarily where I hit most of that. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoy playing like SimCity on PC is where I got that, you know, PC or the Max at the library. Right. Yes. Simant just was not something I was exposed to, but I would have loved the shit out of it.
Yeah.
I'm a real dork who likes learning stuff. And I kind of always was.
Yeah.
So, you know, but bugs are cool. We talk a lot about like dinosaur kids or train kids or whatever. Bug kid is a thing. And I was something of a bug kid.
You can multi-class.
Yeah. Well. You can multi-class.
Like and you should. You get mm-hmm. more powers. Like, it's a, you know, you've gone too far if you go to the populist kid.
Empires of the Undergrowth, it's still in early access, but the reviews are very positive and the gameplay looks the rad, like the videos and stuff. Here they are fighting. You have a boss fight against a frog.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
Might be cool.
I
don't know.
This is what I want out of like a Pikmin.
Yeah.
You know, this is, I bet you I get out of this what people get out of Pikmin.
No,
you know, this kind of stuff. So
never heard of that. I'm glad to know that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, just the, like, I don't know if kids still do this. I don't know if kids still like go out and catch bugs.
Yeah. I assumed, that maybe went away with Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
You know,
maybe
since that was the inspiration for
now
kids can just do this. Yeah.
Yeah. Did I tell you about my encounter down by the creek?
Not based on that. I don't think. I mean, you might have, but I don't. That could be a lot of things, dude.
really good. Yeah. No, I was. I was going down. I was out hiking with Chris. We took a walk at these headwater preserves, so like a mm-hmm. wetlands kind of thing. So we were out walking, and then got over to a creek, and there were these two kids just hanging out. Must have been like probably 13 or 14 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they got real quiet when we showed up, and they were like hiding stuff behind them, and you know, just kind of making a big show of it or whatever. You know, we said hi, you know, just made a little loop around, and then we were walking back. They asked like, "Hey, do you want to see our crayfish?"
Oh,
and I was like, "Fuck yeah, man!"
Show me
them crayfish. You're not supposed to be getting in. It's a preserve, right? You're not supposed to be getting in there. But they were there looking for crayfish. And I was like, show me them shits, man.
Yeah.
They had a little plastic container. I looked at it. I was like, oh man, you picked real, real big ones there. That's real good.
Yeah, it was just a little kid crime.
Yeah. It was an incredibly wholesome moment.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. Like they were hiding their little nets behind them as we were walking.
Because you remember how when you were a kid.
Oh, every adult's a cop.
Yeah, every adult could be somebody who run the crayfish protection agency or whatever. You know,
gotcha.
Like whoever you know, conservationist. Like you could be mm-hmm. a conservationist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every adult was terrifying in that way.
Mm, yeah. So
I remember that.
But I had lots of that. Yeah, lots of going for. Going for it. We needed a bunch of grasshoppers for a third grade thing, you know.
Okay.
And I was like,
mock trial.
We invented frog fractions before frog fractions happened. Yeah. And it's like, okay, so who wants to go catch them? And I was like, send me out to the field, please. Yeah, just like the field right by the school. I just went out there just covered in grasshoppers, picking them off and putting them in a bag.
I used to be like that too, and used to go catch crawfish with my cousin and catch frogs and shit. And now I don't want to touch things. Mm-hmm. Something like that happened to me, and now I'm like, nah, I'm good. I don't need to have a grasshopper on me. I'm not necessarily going to scream like a little kid, but I don't. It doesn't make me happy to have a grasshopper fly at my face now.
No.
Before I was like, bring it. It was a weird thing.
The time that broke me of that was when I worked at the golf course. I was like 11, I think, and it was the year of a locust brood. Or a cicada brood emergence. It was like a big one. It was like 1998 or 1999. You would just come in and you would just be covered. Like people would say like, hey, I need to pick cicadas off your back because you didn't get all of them.
Yeah, that's horrible. Yeah. That grosses me out too much.
Yes.
To consider.
That broke me of it.
Yeah. A good way to end that habit, I think. I'm gonna lay a curse idea on you real quick.
Okay.
Something I've thought a lot about with ant infestations that I've gotten. I always feel a little self-conscious talking about that. Like people think I just leave soda cans everywhere in my house or something.
It just happens.
I grew up in the Midwest. I don't do that because I know about ants, but it does just happen.
Yeah.
Can't do anything about it. What if an ant, like ants just in general, if they touch another ant, they had Katamari rules. So the ant became twice as big as the first ant. And that's how ants worked. How would this impact your life?
Oh, we'd be done. The entire East Coast would be gone.
Isn't it really interesting to think about? Like it wouldn't be a thing. Like that wasn't how ants have always been, because if ants have always been like that, that's more of a sci-fi novel I should write than abject suffering bit, because we did just have one big mega ant crawling over the world like Mario Galaxy. If you got an ant infestation and then this ant disease came that made ants have Katamari rules.
Okay. When you say Katamari rules, you're not talking about like suddenly it is two ants moving and acting as one as a big ball. You're talking, it's like that game Flow, or it's like Spore. Yes. Like I've eaten you,
Spore.
Incorporated the biomass, and suddenly I am two
ants.
Equivalent of two ants.
Yes. And now I can go, or like one of those games that Facebook will show you.
Yeah.
Where you have to go through and absorb the smaller number.
Yeah.
Ants do that. So like you have an ant infestation, you see the first ant and you're fine as long as that ant doesn't like make contact with another ant.
Mm.
If you can get rid of that one, perfect. You can get rid of them all. But the longer you wait, the fewer ants they are, the bigger they are, until eventually you have one that's like the size of a healthy apple or something. Like you wake up one day and that's like crawls across your phone screen. Ugh. As you go reach for it. And like, fuck, if they're at that level, I got to stop it from finding other big ants, because eventually I'm going to have a dog sized ant. Like I could take a dog sized ant. I'd kick it.
Okay. So, I mean, we're getting into like, I don't know, Ant-Man questions here. Sure. I don't mean to do that, but I want to feel out the rules of this, of this curse. Does it still have the proportional strength of the ants?
So I'm thinking about, Liv got into the Venture Brothers. Okay. So I did a rewatch of the series with her, on my way to rewatch the movie again. And there's the bit with Harvey Entman there. Mm-hmm. Who's like, that whole bit with the proportional strength of an ant? Like, yeah, they can lift 10 times, they have 10 times the strength. What's 10 times nothing? Nothing. Mm-hmm. So my thinking being, it would still probably be about as strong as a dog.
Man, so the size of a dog and about as strong as a dog? Nothing. No.
You can't fight a dog?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, what you are laying out is an unrealistic, that's not how this would work. Like, it's 10 times nothing, but like it is 10 times what the ant is. So it'd be 10 times as strong as a dog.
It's a weird thing. That's also a myth. Like what ants do is they're not stronger. They're smarter. They work better in teams. So like, this is something, there was an old book that I stole from school called Why Things Are, which was one of those infotainment, like Dr. John's bathroom reader.
Right.
Fascinated me as a kid. Basically, the way ants work is they're really smart about working in teams. So like an ant, which has multiple legs, will, three ants will carry one thing and they move 1 foot each.
Okay. And it spreads it out. So they're acting as one. Yeah.
Yes. So they each move 1 foot forward by having the rest of their feet on the ground, which gives them more stability.
Yeah.
It's 10 times strength has always been, a shorthand for a more complicated thing.
Let's say the 10% of your brain thing.
It's similar, yes. So let's say like they are stronger than a dog. Let's say it's the ant that's the size of a dog, but it's the strength of two dogs.
Okay. I mean, depending on the dog, it's pretty rough. Like a dog can fuck you up. You know, I'm not going to make broad statements about breeds or anything, but like a dog will fuck you up if it wants to. Right.
Sure.
They murder kids sometimes.
Sure.
Just happens. Yeah.
There's nothing we can do about it. We should stop trying.
Grow up. No, but also like suddenly you've got a thing, you've got a thing the size of a dog that has its skeleton on the outside. They're armored, dude.
Ooh, skeleton on the outside. Yeah. Exoskeleton's a thing.
Yeah.
I guess that's true.
Exoskeleton and also like the mandibles, right? Like they cut leaves.
Yeah.
Like nothing saying they wouldn't cut drywall too.
Yeah, or gear. Yeah. I think that the trick would be, so if I knew it was there, so we have the ant curse, there's one dog ant, and I need to be really careful because it will incorporate, I mean, if it ran to another dog ant, then we have bear ant. If it just walks over some small ants, it's getting imperceptibly bigger, right?
But appreciably, there's so many ants.
There's so many ants, but it also has to get into places where ants are. Mm-hmm. Like, how often do I talk to an ant? Not very much.
True. Yeah.
So I don't think it would be that part would be that big a deal.
Is it seeking them out? Because this seems like a terrible survival strategy.
I don't think so. I think it's just a thing that I think the ant is also having a bad time.
Okay.
The ants also don't want this because they need to find, you know, like they're for a meal, they're having an entire bag of sugar now.
Yeah.
You know, a fudgicle is nothing to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like they look at that like I look at a fudgicle.
Yeah.
You know, but I think if I knew it was going to happen, I could take the ant. It might require some planning. I wouldn't just kick it. You know, mm-hmm. that was rash.
You lose a foot. Yeah.
Yeah. That was rash. But I think that I could like get like a crowbar and axe or something.
Yeah.
And probably pierce through the chitinous shell and then call the cops. I didn't call somebody.
I mean, if this just like happened, if this just started happening one day, like one has to, I mean, it would take forever because like, oh, this isn't actually happening. This is a plot, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, modern society is fucked. Eventually, like there would be a structure.
There'd be a neighborhood watch.
Yeah. Like, just cities that are prone to mosquitoes, like here, my town, we just got the mosquito spray. Right.
Yeah.
Like there are trucks that go around and fog for them. Right.
Yes.
So it's that kind of structure would pop up. There would be a number you could call.
Yeah. Like an ant, like 1-800 no ants.
Yeah. Yeah.
With two S's. I don't know. Something. we'll workshop it. I don't know. But yeah, the ant curse is something I think about a lot. I just think it would be a bad time, and I
just the apartment from Seven, just walls of notebooks.
Yeah, it's you know, it's just a highly specific thing that would make my life a lot worse. You know, and I wouldn't expect it. Wake up one day and this like thing is true.
Oh yeah.
All the ants have like Butterfield's disease.
You spoke into existence.
Yeah, I rock a basilisk, some basilisk size.
Yeah. I mean, just thinking about the size of something, like seeing an ant in the house, like, okay, well, that sucks. Yeah. I don't like that. Seeing a bunch of ants, that sucks. Like, if you see a mouse and a rat or like a big spider in your house, like that becomes something that you need to address. So if we're talking about like, you know, baseball size ant, like that's a story you're going to be telling for a while.
That is real. I'm trying to think of the smallest ant that would not cause me to like absolutely lose my mind. Mm. And it's pretty shockingly small, maybe like the size of like a thumb. If I saw a thumb ant, I'd probably be.
Oh
done.
No! Yeah, no, burn the house down. We're over. Yeah,
it's just like I'm gonna call some. I'm gonna throw money at this until it's done.
Yeah,
like whatever poisons you need to introduce, I will go live in a hotel for a month because, like, sorry, I can't have thumb size ants around. On that same topic, I was also looking up what ants taste like.
Lemon. Formic acid.
Formic acid, like tangy with a little bit of sweetness, and it also varies a lot by ant.
Mm-hmm.
They're like better tasting ants than other ants.
Yeah.
Like carpenter ants, no good, but honey ants surprisingly taste pretty good because they drink nectar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's right in the name. That's probably why they named him that. Yeah. Was it Archimedes who discovered formic acid and wanted to turn it into a weapon?
Something like that, which is pretty slick.
He was distilling ants. Like, hey, maybe I can throw this at some Italians.
Yeah, pocket ants. So
my god.
good stuff.
Sim
Viva. Viva
cool
ants.
Cool game.
Yeah, super ants. Cool game, and just ants, man. I'm gonna look up YouTube. I'm gonna take an edible at some point and look up like ant.
No.
Just put ants in YouTube.
God.
You
ever had ants get into the cat's food?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's infuriating.
Have a strong memory of just Greta, my oldest cat, for people who are just tuning in, just coming to me, like doing like a real sad meow and, you know, walking.
Something's wrong. Like, Something's wrong.
Walking me to her bowl and just like, okay, well, there's some, you know, just like, oh, you're just, she's a hungry cat. She's greedy. So like, oh, it must be empty or whatever. And it's like, oh no, this is, I knew something was different just based on the way she was acting. And it was, and was like, I am so sorry, baby.
It's a horrible feeling. And for people who have perfect vision, you may not understand this, but like, I spend a lot of time walking around my house without my glasses when I'm just, and you can't see that kind of shit.
Right.
But sometimes you can see just a sense of motion.
Why is the floor is blurry there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I in the beginning of Midsummer? Like, mm-hmm. why is this swimming?
Yeah.
And it's because it's infested. It's the most horrible thing.
Well, it's like those videos of like just a big pile of daddy long legs on a wall.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Like, oh, the wall's breathing. Yeah.
The worst. Or like a tree covered with moths where they're all beating their wings with like a breath.
I fucking hate moths.
It's all so good. It's the super fun kind of scary. Mm-hmm. I love it so much. Yeah. Fuck a bug.
This was put in the suggestion machine by Die mm-hmm. Hard, who says ants life, baby, and I couldn't agree more.
It is it's very similar to an ant's life. Go ants. What should people do if they like this show? Cool.
They should go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, where they can give us some money and get a lot of bonus content in return to extra episodes of this show per month, being most salient to you listening right now, but also episodes of whole other shows like Unfilmable, our show about horror media, or mm-hmm. Bonfireside Chat talking about Elden Ring Dark Souls stuff. It's a good value. There's lots there.
We think it's a good value, and it may become a great value.
I don't know what that means.
Stay tuned. We appreciate you very much. We appreciate our producer, Gwen. We appreciate ratings and reviews. We appreciate telling your friends.
Practice gratitude.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's about it.
I think so. Until next time, this has been Abject Suffering, where grilling is an overrated cooking method, except for grilled vegetables, which are delicious. How dare you? Come on.
Ludicrous. It's a joke. Grow up.
It's one of my favorite things to say, grow up.
Good. I think it like 10 times a day now.